insightful interviews, videos, and all the BS we have to offer. BS in the Mornings podcast.
Yeah, well, here's in your eye.
Streaming now. Streaming now. At comp.com.
Hey, this is Halen with Comp 92.3. I'm your reporter from hell. We're sitting here with Corey Taylor, and we're having a blast at Knotfest. We're kicking ass and having a whole...
Taking names and exactly. Writing notes and, I don't know, all kinds of stuff.
Well, let's kick this off with, man, years ago, the first time I ever met you, I got thrown up by the stage and all bloodied up, and you're like, who is that maggot? He's badass. And ever since then, Slipknot's has been my favorite band ever since, and I'm just honored to meet you, man.
Oh, it's all good, man. Right on. I'm glad that everything healed up, by the way, you know?
Yeah, it took a minute.
Well, I mean, I can't remember, you know? That might just be with the way his face looks. Yeah. I wasn't going to say anything. Thanks for being a dick.
When it comes to making your guys' masks, is it a group decision on how each of the masks look, or is it an individual?
No, it's definitely an individual thing, you know? Okay. Like some of the guys, they like what they have, so it only changes subtly, you know? But then there's guys like me, there's guys like Clown, Sid, we change ours dramatically, because for me, and I can't speak for everybody else, but for me, with every album, I'm different. I'm a different guy, you know? So it has to be a reflection of who that person is on the inside. And that's what all of my masks have been, is a reflection of that guy on the inside that needs to just get it out, you know? So when you try to find that face, it's important to be honest to what you're seeing, but also be creative, you know? So this new mask, because of the story that we were telling with Point Five, was about the face behind the face, the mask behind the mask, you know, like the level of emotion that we were sharing with the audience we'd never done before. You know, we had done anger, we had done all these things, but it was a very real experience dealing with the grieving process. You know, when you lose somebody like that, just all of these gnarly emotions that you have to go through. And I wanted to try and represent that with this mask. So, yeah.
Right on. So that was the main inspiration.
Yeah, just... basically. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, if I had to wear the same mask over and over, it would start to feel less and less vital, less and less real, because that's just not me, you know? My original mask was me then, but it's not me now, you know? I mean, it's a little bit of me, but at the same time, you have to kind of keep evolving, or you're just spinning your wheels in the mud, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that makes a load of sense, and it actually... impresses me that you guys put that much effort into everything that you think of to put into these masks.
Well, people don't realize. I mean, we look at everything. You know, we look at the artwork, we look at the music, we look at the stage, everything. Everything's interconnected because it's so much more artistic and creative than just your typical shock rock band or this or that. And I hate to use that, even in like acknowledgement with us, because there's so much more creativity that goes into this band than people. I would say we have more in common with Tool than we do with Kiss, to be honest, because I love Kiss, I love Tool, but for me it's a representation, you know, and everything is connected, everything is a piece of each other. One can't exist without the other. So it's about putting all those things together, and that's what Tool does so beautifully.
Yeah, and I have to completely agree with that.
Well, thank you, man.
Another question would be, gonna figure out how to put this. I know Paul Gray had a lot to do with this CD.
Yeah. Well, his story did. In spirit, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what's some of the other aspects that came into this CD?
Well, I mean, you know, it was important for us to pay respect to him and to everything that, you know, he meant to us. But it was also important for us to really represent how we felt about it, you know? Like, I mean, there was no way that we were going to be able to move on unless we kind of came together and really almost pooled our experience, you know what I'm saying? Because before that, we were all kind of so pulled apart because we were all still shell-shocked, you know? Mm-hmm. None of us had really shared the guilt, the anger, the selfishness. I mean, there's so much that goes, like I said, into the grieving process that it was important for us to kind of realize that we were all feeling the same thing. Mm-hmm. Individually, maybe in different ways, but we were all kind of coming back to that same vibe. And once we did that, it helped us not only share that kind of visceral feeling, but also really kind of, you know, pay even more respect to Paul than maybe we even realized, you know? I mean, his spirit is all over this album. And the great thing is the fans reacted immediately to that. You know, they could feel that. They could feel that this was so genuine and so heartfelt. And it's, you know, we were really, really nervous. I mean, we were, and it's a year now that it's been out. And I can tell you that we were so, like, losing our minds. Like, how is everybody going to, you know, take this? And then when it came out, it just went boom. That was all we needed, you know.
Right on.
Sorry to get heavy.
That was real heavy.
Crazy, man. You know, yeah. I mean, but it's so true. You know, I mean, I'm sure Avenge could tell you the same thing. You know, the guys in Pantera. Anybody who's lost, there's something much more than a band member, or much more than a family member, when it comes to being in a band together. Because this is your friend. This is your ally. It's the guy who's got your back on the road. It's your brother. It's your, you know, it's everything. It's so much more than a family member. And when you lose that, it's really, really tough. It's really tough to recover in a lot of ways.
Yeah. A personal question that I've always wanted to, like, just ask you was, what is one band that you have never toured with that you would love to tour with?
Well, I tell you what, I got to check Suicidal off my list, man, like, just recently. They are still one of my favorite bands, probably one of the best live bands I've ever seen. And we're actually going to take them out next year and do some more stuff with them. I mean, it's a great goddamn question. I've really been lucky enough to tour with everybody, you know, like Slayer to Metallica, Anthrax. Like, I've gotten to Faith No More, you know, I've done shows with them. Iron Maiden I've done shows with. I mean, we had Priest here last night, and we've done shows with them before, but it was, I mean, it's crazy, you know? So, I mean, who else is left, you know? Like, I guess the only other one would be, you know, it had never happened, but, you know, Pantera would be the only other one. But I even did, you know, we did shows with Rage Against the Machine before they broke up the first time, you know? So, I mean, we were lucky enough to have that. I've gotten to tour with Korn, who are great friends of ours, good brothers. Deftones, same thing. I mean, I've gotten to tour with everybody, you know? Like, if I could talk Tool into doing something,
that would be,
I mean, I don't know if it had ever happened, but that would be something for the ages right there,
that,
you know?
Would.
So, yeah, I mean, even if it was just Stone Sour opening for them, I would be totally down with that. So, I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know, if you wish too hard for it, it'll never happen. But if you just kind of put that energy out there, maybe it'll come back to you, you know?
I'm getting the vibe that you're real spiritual.
Yeah, I don't know about spiritual-ish. I believe in energy, let's put it that way. And I don't mean that Sedona fucking, you know, new age, you know, I don't believe in that. But there is proof that karma exists. That's physics, you know? Like, if you put good stuff out, good stuff will come back. That doesn't mean that all bad things are going to stop coming to you. But there's a balance, you know? And I think it comes down to knowing who you are, being honest with the things that you want in life, the things that are important. And once you kind of figure that out, everything else is secondary. And the importance of things that aren't really important start to kind of die down. And then that's when the good stuff comes. You know, like, that's when the stuff that you need comes, you know. Not to quote the Stones too much, but, you know, you can't always get what you want, but if you try, you'll get your, you know, you get what you need. And it's so true. Like, I'd never understood that until A, I started having kids, and then B, you know, quitting drinking and really starting to get everything in my life together. And it's so true. Like, I don't wish too hard for anything, but all this good stuff comes to me, so it's pretty rad.
Yeah, that's an awesome way to put it, man.
Anything else?
I think that one's pretty much do it for the day.
Yeah, okay.
You got a question?
I
I was curious. A little birdie told me that you have something with Doctor Who coming up, maybe?
It just came out. Yeah, yeah. I did a, I did the screams for a character called the Fisher King on Doctor Who, which was so rad. Let me tell you. We were in Cardiff in Wales, and we got a few days before we got there, we got some emails from one of the directors and some of the producers. And they were like, hey, do you want to come down? And we got this whole tour that we want to do, and it's this thing called the Doctor Who Experience. So it's like this big museum, and you can see everything, touch everything. I touched everything. and they were like, also, we have something that we, you know, we would be interested in you, it, you know, kind of helping us out with. And I was like, anything you want. I've been a Doctor Who fan since I was really, really little. So I, you know, we went down, we did the whole Doctor Who thing. There's like this interactive, like, I don't want to call it a ride, but it's like a tour thing where, you know, Capaldi popped up, and it was like, I didn't get to meet him, but after that, they took us to the studios where they film everything, and they were like, we would like you to, you know, do the growls and screams for this new alien, and I'm like, losing my mind, like, oh, so stoked. So then I couldn't say anything for 8 months, man. Like, I'm losing my mind. The only people who really knew were my family, and I couldn't say anything outside of that because, you know, they were trying to set up, like, the, you know, the big thing. And then about a week and a half before the episode aired, you know, they started talking about it, like the Doctor Who people. I was like, so I can say something now. So I started tweeting like crazy about it, and got to watch it with my family. My son, who's a big Doctor Who fan as well, he was just like, that's you? And I'm like, yeah, it's me. Yeah, it's me. So I was, I got to go in the TARDIS, like the actual TARDIS. And I, again, I touched everything. I'm pushing buttons. I'm going to use this phone, throwing levers, this thing, which is my favorite. Because I don't know what the hell it does. But you just hammer on it like that, you know? It was fantastic. It was one of the best things that I've ever done. And yeah, I'm still pinching myself. I still can't believe it happened. So it's pretty rad.
Right on. I got one more question for
okay.
you. Okay. Clown actually just did a movie called The Devil's Carnival. Are any of the other members of Slipknot thinking about jumping on the wagon and doing some Devil Carnival stuff?
You know, I got asked by Darren, the director, to be a part of it, and at the time I couldn't schedule it, but he left an open up invitation if I wanted to do something. Actually, Clown just directed his first feature called Officer Down, which is a comic book adaptation. It's a gnarly comic, but it's really good, and I had a part in that. So that's the next thing that I've got coming out, acting wise. But I know Darren was like totally down to do something, and I was like, dude, absolutely, I would love to do something. So, you know, you never know. You never say never.
That'd be really cool, man.
That'd be killer, yeah.
Well, this is Halen, your reporter from hell with Comp 92.3, and we're going to go back and have some more fun at Knotfest, guys. Have a good one.